Hey, this episode comes with some free bonus phone line clicking that we couldn't make go away. Sorry about that. Hope you enjoy it. Hey, you listen to this podcast. Go to myplayvolution.com, click the Amazon icon, bookmark that page, and use it every time you shop on Amazon. It's a way for you to support the show without costing you anything. And it's a win-win-win. Amazon wins because you buy their stuff, and you win because you get stuff. And we win because we get a few pennies per purchase. Win-win-win. What could be better? Come on, do it. Please?
One, two, three.
Hey, we're starting a revolution. A play revolution. A playvolution. Get it? Come on over and check it out at www.myplayvolution.com. It's an online community for parents and early learning professionals who want to chat and share information and talk and educate themselves and educate others about what's going on in the early learning profession. Let's face it, Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter aren't as warm and cuddly as we might like them to be. This is your community, a place you're going to help create. Come on over. Don't be afraid. Check it out. Jump in. Support the community. Be the community. We need you. Got it? See you there. Welcome to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson, coming to you live from upstairs studio. On the phone with me is Lisa Murphy. How you doing, Lisa Murphy?
I am doing quite awesome.
That's good. Hey, so we have...
Do you know why I'm doing quite awesome?
I would like to know why you're doing quite awesome, although I can probably guess. Go ahead, tell me.
Well, I was sitting here, I was anticipating your phone call, and so I was like, well, I'm a little bit hungry. So I made myself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and then I'm washing it down with a glass of red wine. And I'm thinking it's one of the best lunches that I've had in a considerable amount of time.
I'm happy for you, but it repulses me that you would have anything to drink with peanut butter and jelly other than a very cold glass of milk, because that's
I don't drink milk. No milk. I did cut up the sandwich in little bits of pieces so it wouldn't mess up my lipstick. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah.
Does that make me girly?
Oh, no. That's the way I do it, too. I hate messing up my lipstick. That would be so gauche.
And here's the other reason I'm excited, Jeff, is because this will be, we're together next week. I know you usually post these Monday recordings like at the same time, but next Monday I'm very excited. We'll be podcasting.
I know. We'll be
live in upstairs studio. I'm very excited.
We'll be drinking wine and wearing lipstick together.
Yeah.
Good times.
Woohoo!
All right. So I got a weird little topic for us. I don't know where it's going to go, but a couple weeks ago I was at a place, and I'm going to keep this fairly vague. And we talked a little bit about this before we started recording. That, you know, maybe listeners might think that they're the ones I'm telling the story about. And it's not you. If you think it's you, it's somebody.
It's not you.
It's somebody that's not you. If you think this is about you, so I'm at this place doing this thing, this talking thing that I do. And before the event started, I heard a woman talking to another woman, both early learning professionals, and she was lamenting about the fact that she had this one 2.5-year-old in her class who was having such a difficult time learning to raise his hand when he wanted to talk during circle time while she was doing her curriculum.
Mm-hmm. And I'm loving that I knew kind of where you were going to go with this, but it did deprive our listeners of my honest first initial reaction, which was, oh, my God! I can't fake that again, but oh, my God. This kind of stuff just makes me stupid crazy, and I think, actually, I don't even know what I think. Sometimes I realize that sometimes I feel disconnected, perhaps is the best word, from some of the honest daily struggles that some folks are having. Because my out-the-gate response is, does she actually believe on some sense of her soul that a 2.5-year-old should be expected to raise his or her hand? Like, is that actually an honest thing she believes in? Because if you really are that disconnected from what developmentally appropriate practice would look like, I can forgive some of your frustration and some of your concerns and some of your, how do I get this better? Because then I can get in there and instead of telling you techniques or ways to get the 2-year-old to raise their hand or whatever, we can start talking about where does this expectation come from that you think that this child should actually be doing that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I can be a lot more forgiving. Where I get really, really bent out of shape is when you're interacting and interfacing with people who know better and still choose to attempt to have these kinds of expectations from kids in classrooms.
Yeah, or choose not to know better. Because there are a lot of people that have been doing this job for a long time and make little or no effort to grow professionally. And sadly, I think that's where this person was. She was been here for a long time, hate how these kids get in the way of me doing my curriculum kind of mindset, right, type person as we went through the
I
next couple hours.
I would fire everybody who had that mentality.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
If there was a way to actually weed that out. Like, if you were honestly at that point in your career where all you wanted to do is get through your agenda for the rest of the day and kids and play and developmentally appropriate practice be damned. I mean, if there was a way to like push a button and have you fall through a trap door, I would invent that.
Okay, well, let's play with that idea a little bit. How about we need a van, a random, well, we don't want it to be all A-teamy with the black and the red stripe on it. So, you know, just a white the molester van, like the one I used to have.
I was going to say a creepy van.
Yeah, just a creepy van. A nondescript. It doesn't have to be a van. Just a large nondescript vehicle. And then what we do is we put together a team, and then we go around. We get reports. We'll set up some things on Craigslist, and programs that have these people working in their programs can call us, and then there'll be like a secret rendezvous, and they drop off the payment, and then our team swings into action and disappears those people.
Oh my God, I'm loving this.
what would we call it?
Oh my God, I can actually hear theme music though in my head.
Oh yeah, it'd be kind of.
Oh my God.
We don't want. Yeah.
And that would be such a hilarious like reality show. I mean, we've danced with the concept of how to make something of what we do be like this total childcare intervention, you know, and how could you do it? And you and I, with all the love in my heart, have acknowledged that although it's a kind of an interesting idea, everybody would be crying the whole time. So it wouldn't be good TV because no. Everybody would just be so sad.
No, nobody, everybody else in the room, I mean, the kids would be jumping for glee. The person that called us would be all happy. It's just that one person
know,
that we were disappearing.
Put yourself in the position of the person who's sitting there in her little rocking chair, you know, expecting the kids in the toddler room to raise their hand, you know, and I mean, that poor woman, I don't know, but see, hold on, let me throw you a psychological curveball. Take a breath.
Okay.
What if actually she is secretly hoping that somebody just fires her because she knows that she's done, but she doesn't have the wherewithal or the confidence to walk in and say, you know what, I'm done. Somebody please fire me.
Yeah, well, maybe it'll all work out when Dan Hodgins comes swinging dressed as a ninja, comes crashing through a window on a rappelling line.
Oh, my God. What a cape on.
A blow dart to the neck.
Oh, my
she
God.
Goes
we
down.
We could be like superheroes. We could have funny names. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. God almighty.
And we
holy
so
crap.
And then every week it'd be a different every week it'd be a different caper. We'd be at a different location, disappearing a different bad caregiver from a different program.
Do you know, you know what? I'm having a total memory. Okay, now hold on a second.
Okay.
So way back in the day, way back in the day, well, I mean, I was still in California, we used to do a newsletter, like a paper newsletter that we sent out to all the members all the time, and it was pretty exciting. A part of some of the initial initial newsletters was a comic strip that my good friend Dave Barbin sketched out for us, and I always kind of had it in the back of my head that at some point we could, you know, turn some attention back to this and reignite it or whatnot. But we had all the characters. There was like a teacher, right, who was personified looking like me at the time, but it was that, you know, the person trying to change their mind and be more play-based in their practice and more aware and more intentional, et cetera. And then there was, I mean, he actually drew them. They were existing characters in an ongoing, like, comic strip in the newsletter. And we had the wolf, Mr. Wolf, and we had Poopy Face Laminated Lady, and we characterized all of the major kids that I talk about constantly in the workshop. There was Mackenzie, there was Jonathan, there was Kayla. Oh my God, it was awesome. But you know, we could so revisit something like that, some kind of like a, you know, superhero theme, and then a little moral at the end or something like that, and then maybe we could get it optioned as a movie, and then, you know, we could, you know, move to the beach and drink margaritas the rest of our lives.
Let's get to work on that. Listeners, we'd like some fan art of these characters.
Oh my God.
And the Craigslist ad would be like, work in childcare next to a warm body that's nothing more than a part of the ratios. Want to disappear her? Call 888-402.
Oh, that'd
be great.
Oh my God.
We'd have code names.
We'd be like poopy face shitmen.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the other thing, if we're goofing with this, yay for the damn kid who doesn't want to raise his hand at 2 and a half and sit there. And what the hell is wrong with the rest of those kids that they're sitting and raising their hands? That's what I want to know.
Well, and I had a conversation with a lady a couple weeks ago at a gig about that very same thing. And there was this honest kind of acknowledgement from my end to them that the Jonathans in your classroom, I realize that they're causing you a lot of stress. I get that. I also know, though, that really when it's all said and done, I'm more concerned about the little girl who sits there and is quiet all the time, the compliance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you got children who, and I think we actually talked about this a couple weeks ago, there was somebody who was running around at a circle time I was watching, and the kid was jumping off the TV, or they're jumping off the chair or something like that. And, you know, and I'm not saying that jumping off the chair, you know, in the classroom is acceptable behavior, but I'm pointing out, I'm like, get over the moral reaction that you have right the second the kid jumping off of the chair. And let's think about what's really happening here. This is a 2-year-old who in their 2-year-old way is trying to tell you what you are expecting from me is completely inappropriate, and I'm not verbal enough to articulate that. So I'm going to show you in some other way.
Yeah.
And then we take all of that passion and we squish it, and, you know, and then we pump out compliant kids, just like that thing you highlighted the other day. You know, what are we really getting them ready for?
Yeah.
To be compliant?
Yeah, yeah. And that kid is telling you the curriculum. I need to jump. I'm interested in jumping off shit, and give me something to jump off of.
Or even that I'm not even interested in jumping, but I'm really interested in not having to be
not,
a part of what
not,
you're
I'm interested,
me to be a part of.
I'm interested in not that.
Exactly.
With the compliance, I had another playground incident with grandbaby the other day.
Oh, God.
So she is showing this other about 3-year-old how to climb up the tunnel slide at the playground, and the kid's grandma comes rushing over and tries to get them to stop. You guys, you're not supposed to climb up the slide. Get down or something. And Rowan looks at this lady and says, "Papa said I can."
I love it.
And then turned around and went back to climbing up the slide.
I love it.
And I'm just sitting there. I didn't move. I mean, I was ready
you
to.
You didn't need to.
I was ready to jump to her defense if I needed to, but she had her stuff together and it wasn't necessary. And this woman kind of got this shocked look on her face and then went back to her bench and let the kids climb up the slide.
And probably left them alone the rest of the time, right?
And so how?
Good for her.
Well, yeah. I'm sure it's going to come back to bite me in the ass because she's going to turn in. I mean, you know.
I doubt it.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm paralleling the raising the hand question a little bit, and forgive me for getting researchy.
No.
But I'm almost paralleling it a little bit to my master's project, my final project, where just to bring everybody up to speed, my question was whether or not preschool teachers value block play, and then I defined what value meant, and I came up with these criteria and these indicators, and what ended up, the long story short, is 100% of the people that I surveyed self-reported that they valued block play, blocks in the block, and they valued this thing. But then when you actually look at their practice went completely in the opposite direction. Like, so their actions actually completely contradicted what they self-reported. So the takeaway from that, and should I ever do any follow-up research to it, what we're trying to figure out is, if we gave, like, direct instruction, like, these are the reasons why blocks are important. Here's the time component, here's the space component, here's the how much stuff you actually need component. If you actually provided a direct intervention, would you actually then see their behavior change after receiving said, quote-unquote, intervention? And then we started thinking, well, that's all well and good, but most people have to report to somebody. So maybe it's not just the teachers who need that kind of direct intervention. It's the owners and the administrators as well, because essentially they're the ones that are going to be supporting or negating or undermining what's going on in the classroom. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of applying that same thought process to this situation here. You know, like who actually needs to sit down and be reminded of what is acceptable and inappropriate expectations to have of each particular age group? I mean, is it that basic? Could you do a very basic ages and stages expectations workshop and then anticipate that adult interactions with the children in their program would actually become more positive?
Yeah. It just frustrates.
Or do you just sit back and say at some point you should kind of know better? And you clearly don't, so it's time for you to go.
Well,
I can argue that side of the fence too. Is, you know, how did you even get?
Yeah.
How has it been possible that you're still around after 30 years? With all due respect.
Yeah.
And didn't know this.
Yeah.
Or did you know it before and you forgot, or did you feel that you had to compromise what you knew in order to do what? You know, I mean, this is an awesome conversation, and it fits with so many things. But I find that it also keeps coming up in both teacher workshops and in parent workshops as well, is like, well, what do I do about my kid who? What do I do about the kid who? What do I do? And then my instant response lately has been, where is that coming from that you even think that that's something that should be expected?
Yeah.
And I'm getting these looks of like, and I'm like, okay, so the expectation needs the adjustment and the intervention, not the child.
Yeah, yeah, and the thing that gets me is this hearing this isn't a uncommon thing. I mean, it's the first time I'd ever heard this specific thing, but we are hearing these kind of things when we're out on the road all the time. And are you frustrated with it, Lisa?
I'm frustrated with it because I wonder what happened when we weren't looking. You know, or is it that old lobster story where everybody's just been in pot for too long
and somebody
keeps bringing up the heat and nobody's quite realized it, and maybe perhaps you and I have been out of the pot just long enough to be all like, dude.
Yeah, yeah. And
get out of the pot.
You got to raise your hand first, but get out of the damn pot.
Yeah.
And so we need the people that are asking kids to do things that aren't things that kids of a particular age or developmental level are able to do, to quit asking those things. And we need the people that are asking those people to do those things, because she could be getting her marching orders from a curriculum director or a state quality rating system or an accreditation packet that she didn't understand, program she didn't understand, or whatever it is. And then we've got to also ask the people that are making these incredibly stupid policies about rigidity in early learning and high standards and expectations for young, all this bullshit, to all turn the pot down a little bit so that 2-year-old can not have to raise a darn hand because he's bored out of his gourd in circle time, because the truth is we don't have time to put on the superhero. I mean, just getting on, how long is it going to take me to get on the skin tight superhero costume? I mean,
so let me ask this. So let's put a call to action or some kind of a positive note on it.
Okay.
For the listeners who have found that they have challenged some of those expectations, what did that look like? Maybe some people, you know, all 10 of you who listen, maybe some of you can share with us like a success story of a time when you pushed back, even if you were scared to death, even if your voice was shaking, even if you threw up as soon as you did it. What was the expectation, and how did you push back?
Did you push back?
Yeah. I would love to hear some stories.
Yeah, we've had some past guests share those stories in previous episodes, and I think I love hearing those and seeing those posts and comments. That's a way. And the reality is, this woman could have been. She could have been wonderful, and is just in a bad situation where she is overwhelmed, and that happens. And maybe that kid is a jerk.
Stop it! To be complete devil's advocate, I could actually consider that she was retelling a story about somebody, and you just heard it come out of her mouth. Maybe if you want to really be positive, she was actually processing that with a colleague, and it wasn't actually her expectation either. But I don't know how much of the pie.
I was hovering for about 20 minutes.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. So we need to recap for our listeners. One, expecting 2.5-year-olds to raise their hand in circle time so that you can finish your curriculum. Not a good choice for anybody involved. Two, if there is a coworker that you want to disappear, we're working on a special semi-secret project that may be able to take care of that for you. So pay attention to Craig's list.
Operation Trapdoor.
Operation Trapdoor. It's going to take a while. We've got to find a volcano in the South Pacific to build our secret headquarters. And we've got to get some Iron Man type shit together before we can roll into action.
And I need a costume.
You need a costume. I'm you know, what are you going? Where are you going? Some sort of Catwoman kind of thing, or what are you thinking?
Ooh, that would be awesome. I don't know. Yeah, wouldn't that be so cool?
Yeah, I'm thinking for myself. I'm thinking maybe imagine Batman if he was kind of short and pudgy and out of shape.
Like in The Incredibles.
That's exactly what I'm going for. Or I'll have to get one of the costumes with the foam implants for like biceps and stuff. And so we'll work on that. And we're gonna need a couple members for our team. But we also we'd love to see some fan art of this if anybody out there can draw.
That's hilarious.
And then we'd like to hear your stories about standing up and pushing back and what you pushed against and how the process went.
I would especially like that. In fact, I might even post that, feel that one question today and put it on Facebook. I'm curious as to, yes, of course, to celebrate how you pushed back. What did you say? What did you do? I'm curious of getting a list going of what are some of the things out there that even if people aren't confident enough yet to do the pushing, like what are some of the expectations that ECE people are running into on a daily basis that maybe we're a little disconnected or out of touch from?
Well, if you post that today after recording and hear good stuff back, I mean, when we're together, we could actually invite people on to share their stories for an episode or two if we want to do that too.
Yeah,
so that'd
like
be good.
Remember the day that we gathered all the what's taboo?
Yeah.
And then we got together and talked about that, and it was like 400 things that were taboo.
Yeah. That was a good list.
Good recap. Nice recap.
Well, we are podcast professionals now. Hey, yes, this has been another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. We'll be back in a couple of days with another episode. Thanks for listening. And hey, we're recording this the 1st of June. May was our biggest month of downloads ever, and we really appreciate you guys listening and getting in touch with us and telling us when and how you're listening, because it just makes us feel that it's worth doing when we hear from you. Thanks. We'll be back in a couple days. See you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. If you like the show, check out our other offerings, Shots, Lisa's Book Report, and Tom Copeland's Taking Care of Business. And we'd love it if you shared them with friends, left a comment at myplayvolution.com, and gave them 5 stars on iTunes. Thanks. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. Oh. Thanks.